You're listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Coming up, the latest Kids Count data book came out today. We'll find out how the well-being of Wisconsin's children measures up to how kids are doing in other states. First, swear words are some of the most powerful words in a language. While some ideas expressed through swear words are consistent from one culture to another, others are very culturally specific and target the most taboo or sensitive areas of life. Rebecca Roach is a lecturer in philosophy at the University of London and is currently writing a book about swearing. She wrote a piece for Eon called Naughty Words. Rebecca, welcome to Central Time.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
How long do you think swearing has been around?
I think probably as long as we've been speaking. I mean, there's not reliable records for this, but certainly the practice of insulting people has been around for a very long time. And you can see examples of that in like Shakespeare and the sort of uses of crude language to insult other people. So roughly what we mean today when we talk about swearing.
So you've looked at a lot of reasons why swearing might be powerful. One idea is that swearing often conveys anger, but is that always the case?
No, not at all. That's one of the ways that swearing can be used to express emotion. But it also plays a big role, for example, in comedy. So it can be amusing for people to swear. It can also help us bond with other people. You know, if you sort of maybe out for a drink with some colleagues who you don't know very well, and then as the evening wears on, you relax, and when people sort of start to talk more informally and they might swear. And that can be a sort of signal that the relationship has changed to something more informal. So it's a way of giving off friendly social signals. It can also be threatening. Or we can just use swear words in the way that we use other sorts of words, so we could use them as verbs or as nouns, or depending on what the word in question does. So it has a variety of uses, and expressing emotion is only one of them.
Well, and that's one of the things you just touched on that I think is really intriguing about swear words, is that they don't seem to be confined by grammar in the same way that other words are. So if we think of a favorite, or maybe I should say a common swear word, it can creatively be used as an adverb, an adjective, a noun, or a verb. Do you think there's a reason that swear words have developed in that way when other parts of our language maybe have not?
Yeah, so there's been some work done on this, especially by the linguist James McCauley, who's no longer with us, but he was writing about a particular swear word, the F word, and he noticed that it has two types of uses. One is just if you imagine it being a verb like any other, so you can use it to you can use it in much the same way you would use any other verb. And when you're using it in that way, it's quite well behaved linguistically. It behaves in a similar way to other verbs. But then there is also the other way that you would use it, the way that you use it to sort of insult people or just as an exclamation. And it's then that it sort of takes on these strange properties, and it sort of becomes very versatile. It's perhaps to do with the role that it plays. So it's sometimes said that when we exclaim a swear word, that's a way of just letting off steam. That's kind of more like a scream than an utterance. So you're not necessarily trying to communicate something; you're just trying to give vent to emotion. So that's one possibility. I also think that it has something to do with the way that we're brought up. If we're brought up. As children, we're taught to use language in certain ways. We're told that we're corrected if we use the wrong word endings for verbs and so on, or if we make certain other grammatical mistakes. But obviously, that doesn't happen with swearing. We're just told we're not allowed to swear, and that's the only rule we're taught. We don't help children swear correctly. We just tell them not to swear. So there is this sort of, I think, a sense of sort of, once you've broken the rule not to swear, you can kind of do what you like. I mean, that's a sort of very simplistic way of doing it. But I certainly don't think we necessarily feel ourselves bound by linguistic rules when we swear in a similar way that we would do with the rest of language.
There are a lot of different types of swear words, but one of the elements that they seem to have in common often is that they invoke taboo subjects. What are some of those taboo topics that are most often used to create swear words?
Yeah, so swear words, the offensiveness of swear words tend to track what our most offensive taboos are. So, there are similarities between these across cultures and languages. So religious words play a big role in swearing. If you think in English, sort of religious-themed swear words have become a lot less powerful and less offensive over the last few decades. So if you think about the line from Gone with the Wind, "Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn," you know, that was really shocking when the film was released. But now, you know, that seems really mild. There are sexual swear words, they sort of rose in their offensiveness in the sort of Victorian era. There are also sort of lavatorial types of words, obviously. And then there are some that sort of appear more often in some languages than in others. So there's what you might call sort of hierarchical terms, which involve expressing disrespect to usually to somebody's mother. Now, there's only sort of a couple of terms in English swearing that that play that role. You can probably guess what they are, but there are a lot more of them in some other languages like Spanish and Italian. In some cultures, like in Dutch, disease words are used as a sort of swearing insult. So you can call somebody a tuberculosis sufferer.
Hmm.
And that will be a term of abuse. So there is a little bit of variation, but there are these sort of common themes, really, of religion, lavatorial terms, and sex. These sort of seem to be fairly consistent throughout languages and cultures.
I found it interesting that in your essay in Eon called Naughty Words, you also say that swear words tend to have a short, sharp sound to them, and that much more soft and longer words would have a hard time being taken seriously as a swear word. Why do you think the actual sound and kind of shape of those words kind of gives added emphasis to them being swear words?
Yes, it certainly seems to be the case that swear words do have that in common, that they are quite short and sharp. Some people have suggested that is actually behind that's the reason that they're powerful, which I don't think is quite true. You know, we have lots of words that are short and sharp, but which are, aren't offensive. I think it simply has something to do with what we want swear words to do very often. So we want swear words to give us the power to express emotion. And making certain sounds just happens to be we find it more suited for that purpose, exactly the same way that we find certain body language more sort of satisfying as a way of expressing emotion. So if you're angry, you will sort of maybe clench your fists, you'll tense up and so on, you'll talk in a louder voice. You know, it would be sort of very difficult to express anger, you know, sort of while relaxing, reclining on the sofa, talking, maybe whispering, and being perfectly relaxed. So I think that the sound that swear words make just sort of fit in with all of the other ways that we find to express emotions. It's just a kind of body language type thing.
It sounds like you're saying that they're almost a verbal form of a slap or a punch.
Yeah, they can be. I mean, that's a good way of putting it. We often use them like that. So one way of looking at swear words, actually, is that we can use them as an alternative to violence. So if two people are sort of having a shouting match and swearing at each other, and you might be thinking, oh, this is, they're going to start hitting each other in a moment. But before it gets to that stage, you have swearing. So it's a way of being very aggressive, but without resorting to physical violence.
Rebecca Roach is a lecturer in philosophy at the University of London. She's currently writing a book about swearing. And Rebecca, it seems like a lot of the common characteristics that we've outlined, it explains some, but not all of the power that swear words hold. So what is the importance of context to whom we're speaking, when we're saying it, and how the words are said?
Well, context is hugely important. So you can say some, you can swear if you're sort of out with your friends in an informal setting, and nobody will bat an eyelid. But if you use the same language in a job interview, for example, or in a sort of formal work meeting, then everybody's likely to be shocked, even if they're the same people. So swearing is not merely sort of offensive always and everywhere. Its offensiveness depends on the context. And I think, when we're sort of looking for an explanation of why swearing is offensive, it's absolutely essential that we have to take into account the role of context, because, without the right context, swearing is not offensive at all.
Rebecca, as we wrap up, language is always evolving. Do you see swearing evolving in interesting ways?
Yeah, absolutely. So what's the most offensive in among our swear words is always sort of going to track what we find most offensive as a society. And there has been some sort of research done in this which shows that certain words, such as the F word, it sort of declined in offensiveness over the years. So this is research that's been done just by sort of asking people how offensive they find certain words when they hear them on TV. So over sort of the course of a few decades, the F word becomes sort of a little less offensive than it once was. And on the other hand, racist and homophobic slurs have become more offensive. And that's, I think, well, that's a good thing. That's sort of we're less tolerant of racism and homophobia in our society. So if you think about maybe a couple of decades ago, it's sort of been not unheard of for people just to sort of be casually racist in conversation. That's sort of frowned upon in many more contexts than it once was nowadays. So if you really want to be offensive, then you can be racist. But of course, there's sort of independent reasons why that's a bad thing to do.
Rebecca, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Rebecca Roach is a lecturer in philosophy at the University of London and is currently writing a book about swearing. She wrote a piece for Eon called Naughty Words. Next, we'll break down the latest Kids Count data book released today. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Coming up tomorrow after 4, we'll talk to U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin. She'll explain why she thinks we should end the one-year ban on blood donations from gay and bisexual men. And she'll also weigh in on gun safety votes in the Senate as well. That's tomorrow after 4 on Central Time. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.